It's hashtag Casey Breakfast. Doctor, to answer your question about how Grant knows this, if you listen to some of the songs that he sings along to when we do have karaoke, the Hawaii IBG style.
Okay.
Anyway, right, let's do what we have to do this time of the morning. It is time for our weekly conversation with Dr. Hanelie Williams, and we're focusing on depression and suicide, but more understanding it. And I asked you earlier that if it's normally linked suicide to depression, so my question would be, what is depression, and then of course how is it linked to suicide, Doc?
Yeah, Grant, at first...
Your mic is very soft this morning. Let me just adjust that for you quickly. Okay.
Okay. I just want to say that in May, you will see that May is also Mental Awareness Month.
Okay.
But that's more international. Mm. It's more in the USA and Canada. And in South Africa, we celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month in October.
Okay.
So the World Mental Health Day is the 10th of October, where everybody globally celebrate that or focus on mental health. So to answer your question, Grant, depression is a medical condition, and I think we need to emphasize that. It's not something that you can wish away and just want to snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a medical condition. It affects your mood, how you feel, and most of the time we diagnose depression if it's more than 2 weeks, where you feel more down than having joy in your life and actually enjoying things that you used to enjoy. And then also it disturbs your thinking. You're much more darker, you're much more negative. You ask what's the point in life. You've got existential crises, like what's my point being on earth. So it really influences your thinking.
Is that the kind of questions?
Yeah, you will sit, and a lot of patients sat with you and they would ask, but what is my purpose?
Why am I here?
What is my purpose? Especially if they're going through very tough times. And also it affects your energy levels. You will realize that you become very tired. You struggle to wake up in the morning. You struggle to finish your work, so it affects your concentration and attention. So it really affects your brain, and that's why it's a medical condition. When it becomes very severe, it can lead to feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, and emotional pain. And for some, this can result in thoughts of suicide as a way to escape that pain. So you have to be alert when someone is withdrawing and is not seeing the positive side in life anymore, and become very hopeless and worthless. And in the condition that we are currently living in, where people struggle financially, the divorce rates are quite high, it can lead to depression, and it can lead to eventually thoughts of suicide.
Well, Dr. Williams is in studio with us, and it's our weekly conversation. This week, depression and suicide, particularly that. But Doc, before we continue, just a question. If there's one of the listeners or any of the listeners that can relate to what you just said, because obviously when someone talks, you listen, and then you self-reflect, and you say, okay, but that sounds and that sound, and not that. But if they can relate to what you said in terms of what they're currently going through, what's the next step for them? What should someone do?
If you are worried about yourself, a lot of people can live a long time with depression because you're resilient and you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to come across weak. But you can feel in yourself that you are not the same person as before. Your work ethic is not the same. Your results, your functioning is not the same. And then you really need to reach out for help.
Right. So, with the start of our conversation, I asked, and I compared, or not compared, but basically put them in the same line, the same sentence: depression, suicide. Now, does having depression, does it mean that someone will actually attempt suicide?
No, not at all. Not everyone with depression will attempt suicide. However, depression is one of the strongest risk factors. So if you evaluate a patient and you will see that this patient's got depression and it's quite severe, that makes them a candidate for committing or trying to commit suicide. So we do have risk factors that we look at while evaluating the patient. The key is recognizing when symptoms worsen, especially when hopelessness and withdrawal increases. So if you see someone and you experience a family member or friend that seems to be more hopeless than before, and it's withdrawing, isolating themselves more, like not being in a crowd, you know, they don't have the capacity to even talk to your to their friends, they become very quiet, you have to be a bit, little bit more aware and try to reach out. To stay quiet and not to say anything, I think that is a criminal offense. You know, you can see that someone is really struggling, and we're here to support each other.
Righto, so, and then another $1 million question is that not everybody can afford medical help. The current services at the state hospitals. Does it make provision for something like this?
Yes. So what I do know, I worked in the state sector for quite a while, and there are clinics everywhere. Even the smallest clinics, like, for example, Soutendal Clinic, there will be a sister at least that can evaluate if the patient needs more care and if the patient is at risk. So then that patient will be referred maybe to Wellington Day Hospital, where we do have more qualified staff to maybe start medication or refer to a psychologist. And if that is not enough, then they refer to the regional hospital that we do have, that's Paul Hospital. So Paul Hospital has a psychiatric unit where they have about 34 beds that I know of, and they do have a psychiatrist and also very dedicated medical officers that only works in psychiatry.
In psychiatry.
And they will see outpatients and they will see inpatients. It depends on the referral from the clinic.
Okay, Dr. Williams is here with us. Weekly conversation, depression, suicide. That's what we're focusing on for this week. Doc, before I let you go, is there a difference between feeling low and being suicidal?
Feeling low can happen to anyone, and sometimes we use the word depression or ikasu depro so loosely, but you can just feel low sometimes, especially if you have some psychosocial problems, you know, work-related problems, and you feel low. So that can happen to anyone and often passes. Suicidal thinking involves persistent thoughts about wanting to die, feeling like a burden, or believing there is no way out. That's when immediate support is needed. So you can feel low, doesn't mean you are depressed. The criteria for depression is when you feel low and you don't enjoy things that you usually enjoyed, and it has to be more than 2 weeks.
Okay.
And with additional, you're starting to feel like your energy levels are low, you're not eating well, you're anxious, you're not sleeping well. And then eventually you're not concentrating well on in your work. So your functioning is starting to deteriorate. And then some of the patients, I mean, it depends also what you are going through.
Okay.
Some of the patients will have some suicidal ideation. So there's a difference between suicidal ideation, suicidal thoughts, and attempts. So ideation might be just, if this truck comes and I stand here, they can just drive over me. So it's not something that you will actively do. And then thoughts of, just wondering what's my purpose, what's my point in life here. And those thoughts you can't ignore, because that can lead to actually having an attempt.
Righto, doctor! Thank you so much, doctor.
But we need to focus on the BG song, Staying Alive.
of course. Address, details?
Okay, we are situated at number 14 Synagogue Street in Paul. Our hours are from 9 to 1, so you can contact
daily
us.
Daily Mondays to Fridays.
To Fridays. And you can contact us on 082-673-1783. Yeah.
Give me a doctor. No. There's a lot of hesitation in that voice, no?
There's a hesitation because I don't use the number, man.
So it's weekdays, 9 to 1.
You see, I don't use the number.
Is Dr. Anklaag weer na een uur?
Nee. See, people will... No, people think that I'm done, but that is the office work.
Oh, okay.
And then I've got patients in the clinics. That I admit it. So we have to go and see our patients in the clinic. So Candace,
so you're done at 1 o'clock at the surgery.
Yes,
you call it a surgery. Office?
Well, it's a surgery practice. It's basically the same. So I will see from 9 to 1. I will see patients. It's usually an hour per patient, and then.
So you'll never be able to see me if I can't come through the day.
Late afternoon, then I'm at the clinics most of the time.
So if I want to see you, then I need to be there before.
Yeah, but you have to make an appointment.
I know.
Yeah, that's 9 to 12,
grand,
9 to 12.
Your others will go
Look here.
You give sick briefies.
I do give sick briefies.
No, I don't need the sick briefies.
No, I do give sick briefies. Well, all medical professionals can give sick briefies. But let me rephrase. Does it 082-687-1783?
Does it?
It is, right?
Yeah, are you sure?
This Dr. Annelie.
I went to look now because I know my secretary is going to be very angry if I don't know the number.
Resto dokter, ons sê vir jou baie dankie. 'N voorspoedige lekker res van die week. Sien uit na volgende week as die Here ons uitspaar. En nou dis woensdag aand vanaand, dis blommetjie aand.